Okay, good evening as always. And although I know this shiur was mainly set up and devoted to giving an assortment of Divrei Torah for the parsha, tonight I'd like to focus by and large, if we have time we can spread it on to other Divrei Torah, but to focus by and large on one particular main inyan. There are a couple of questions that are asked, famous questions that are asked, about the story of the Meraglim in this week's parasha. There's a famous teretz that is given, and perhaps tonight we'll share a teretz that's not as famous, but even perhaps more important. There's a question we ask on Klal Yisrael and the Meraglim, almost the same question. How could it be that they brought back and fell for a report that was so damning about Eretz Yisrael? Klal Yisrael have been in the Midbar, being looked after by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being guided by the Anan HaKavod, being provided with the Mon every single day, the Lechem Min HaShamayim, that was Nivla Be'ivoreim, they never needed to be excused. The Anan HaKavod that surrounded them provided a perfect climate, ensured that their clothes were dry clean the entire time, their clothes grew with them, and remained pristinely clean. They had a be'er, a source of water, where every Nossi at the time they camped would hold up his mater and just guide a stream from the be'er to around where his shevet was. So everyone had a ready supply of water as well. They have a mishkan, where there's a shchino that's shruya be'ner. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, you don't need to send meraglim, but since you've requested it with the cheshbon that they had, they wanted to live, but they knew they were going into a land where they would then have to live up Hiderech HaTeva, so they wanted to go in with Meraglim up Hiderech HaTeva. So Moshe Rabbeinu, fine, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has allowed us to do that, but this is what you should be looking for when you go as the Meraglim. And he tells them, if you see a land where people are living in open, spread out cities, then you should know that they're fierce warriors, they're strong, they rely on their own strength. It's something that maybe you'll want to be worried about. But if you see they're living in towered, walled cities with huge fortification, then fear not, they're weak, they don't rely on their own strength, we're going to have an easier time. I want you to go in there and see if it's a place that has springs and that has natural hot springs. I want you to go and see the fruit of the land. I want you to see Ayesh Ba'etz. Is there anyone there who can be megin on them with his chus, with his masim tovim, with his tefillah? And I want you to see if it's an Eretz Oichelet Yoshveohi. Is it somewhere where people live or people die? Is it somewhere where the population grows or the population stagnates or decreases? And the Meraglim go. And they find walled cities with huge fortifications. And they find springs, and they find hot springs, and they find fruit and produce that is mishuna, huge, that would provide for people to have huge and plenty to eat the entire time. And the Midrash tells us that every town that they entered, Deves struck the town as they entered. And they got to hear about it, and they got to know about it. It wasn't there before. And people were busy with their ill, and with their dead, human beings, animals, and therefore they had no time to deal with the Meraglim. And the Meraglim had Kvitzas HaDerech. And they come back, and they tell Klal Yisrael, we have no chance. Do you know what fortification they live in? There were these huge walled, towered cities. Everywhere we went, people were dying. In fact, even Eov is dead. We have no chance. And Klal Yisrael fell for it. The Sanhedrin began to cry. You can't really make Klal Yisrael culpable. The Meraglim, who some say were the Sari Chamishim, suddenly held prominent positions. And Klal Yisrael came back with such a scary and damning report. The Sanhedrin cried about it. The rest of Klal Yisrael followed suit. So on the Meraglim, we have a question. You were given a remit. You were told exactly what to look for. And you were told what the meaning of particular things is. And they came back with a construed report, totally the opposite of what Moshe Rabbeinu had told them. So on that, famously, we know Chazal tell us that in their subconscious, they had a natia, they had a shaychad inside them. They knew when they're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, you wouldn't need anymore the tiered system, the tiered judicial system that Moshe Rabbeinu had set up with the advice of Yisroel. You wouldn't need your sorry chamishim, sorry asorei, sorry meoi, sorry chamishim, etc. You were sorry alofim. There would be no necessity for them anymore because upon entering Eretz Yisrael, every shevet will have their Sanhedrin, every city will have its Sanhedrin, and therefore they would be obsolete. And in their subconscious thoughts, they were worried about losing their position. And therefore, they saw things in a light which would allow them to remain in their position. And they came back with a report that was no good. Okay, and that's the famous teretz that we say about the Meraglim. About the Sanhedrin. Klal Yisrael, they've been waiting for what they thought would be 80 days. Rashi tells us, the Mahalech Beinoni, the average amount that a human being walks a day is 10 parasol. And the borders of Eretz Yisrael are 400 parasol, 400 parasol. That means it should have taken them at least 80 days to do that journey. So they anticipated waiting 80 days. I assume they discussed between them what Moshe Rabbeinu had told the Meraglim. This is what to look out for. And if you see this, they must have been hoping. We hope they're going to find fortified cities. We hope they're going to find that the people who are important to them have died. And they come back and they found that. And Yeshua and Kalev get up and remind them that's not what we were looking for as something, that is what we were looking for. That's not the message of what we were looking for. Moshe Rabbeinu said if you find fortified cities, you're going to be okay. Moshe Rabbeinu said if the person that supported them, who's a megan for them has died, we're going to be okay. We are okay. Sortzilo me'aleem. And Kalev wanted to stone them. They wouldn't be makabel. But what happened? What happened? That they didn't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could help them against even that. And they've been through Amalek, they've been through Mitzrayim, they've been through Amalek, they've debated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's happened to Klal Yisrael? The Meraglim will understand, look, Klal Yisrael, what's happened to them? The truth is, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't tell us, the Torah doesn't tell us in this week's parasha, what happened to Klal Yisrael, how they fell for what the Meraglim were telling them. But Moshe Rabbeinu, and perhaps this is also a message for us, that when someone is in a moment of confusion and distress, that's not the point. That's not the point in time to try and rationalize with them. But we wait for once things have subsided and people have calmed down, and then we can try and rationalize with them. Moshe Rabbeinu, at the beginning of Sefer Devarim, in the first parak of Parashas Devarim, tells Klal Yisrael, "Vatikru bune elai kulchem, you all came to me. There was a Bahala, and you came to me, and you told me you want to send Meraglim. Vayita be'enai hadovar," Rabbi Shalom said, "You didn't, but fine, we were going to send Meraglim." And they went, and they came. Yeshua and Kalev, they also said it's Eretz Zavas Cholav Dvash, but mainly Yeshua and Kalev said it's good, but you didn't want to listen to them. When they counted what the other Meraglim said, you didn't want to listen to them. And what happened? You complained in your tents. The time of Israel, they took their children into the tents and they sat down and they cried with them and said, "Nebuch, you don't know what's going to happen to you. We're going to be dead and you're going to be persecuted by the Canaanim because Vatoimru besinas Hashem isonu. The Rabbeinu Shalom hates us, and that's why Hoitzionu me'eretz Mitzrayim. Losi isonu biyadei Emori liashmidim. The Rabbeinu Shalom hates us and he's taking us out of Mitzrayim to put us in the hands of the Emori liashmidim to destroy us." Says Moshe Rabbeinu, at the point when Klal Yisrael were about to go into Eretz Yisrael, the last month of his life, he tells the remaining of Klal Yisrael, "Do you know what your parents, when they did that with you and they told you, Hashem hates us, and that's why he's taking us out of Mitzrayim. And that's why Meraglim are right and Yeshua and Kalev are wrong." Said Moshe Rabbeinu, and I turned around to them and I said to them, "No, that's not the case." What did Klal Yisrael think? Why did they thought HaKadosh Baruch Hu hated them? He took them out of Mitzrayim. He's giving them the mon, he's giving them the be'er, the ananei hakavod, the mishkan in between them. They were chayted by the eagle and they've now got the mishkan and now they thought HaKadosh Baruch Hu hated them. The Sfarna has an explanation. Maybe we'll predicate the words of the Sfarna with a mashal. A person was working in a business and he had an nisayon to funnel some money into his personal account or into his own pocket, and he fell for it. He fell in that nisayon, and he took some away. And the boss found out. And obviously he was either going to be sidelined or demoted or made redundant. But to his amazement, the boss says to him, you know what, I just want you to work in a different department. And he looks after him and he starts to rebuild him, and he's amazed at how this fellow's fine, understand, it was an Isayan, it's not going to happen again. And he starts to rebuild him and teach him how to work in a different department within his business. A few years later, he comes to this gentleman, he says to me, you know, actually, I want to give you a promotion to being a director in the company. You're going to have involvement in the higher corridors of this company. That's what I want to give you. This gentleman is now in two minds. What exactly is this all about? I haven't forgotten what I did, and I haven't forgotten the way I've been treated. But is this a test? Is this a test? Is this where he's going to be testing me again and putting in front of me that Nisayon that I had once before, and that's just going to bring my downfall? Or is this really a promotion? The truth is, those thoughts will depend on how good a relationship that person has with his boss, with the managing director of the company, with the owner of the company. If there really is a trust and a love between them, then he'll believe that over these years he's seen, he's helped me, and he's nurtured me, and he's seen my value, and he's seen that, and he's given me permission that I should talk and move on. If the love and trust between them isn't that good, then he's going to have sfeikas. Maybe this is just about to bring my downfall. Klal Yisrael said, "Besinas Hashem Eison." We don't have that relationship with our Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why not? Says the Sfarno. They said, "We have no doubt our Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael. So Haftacha we have from the Avos HaKadoshim. It's definitely going to get it, but we are not going to get it. Our children, certainly their children, our grandchildren, they're going to get it, but we're not, because the Rabbeinu Shalom hasn't forgotten that we were Obed Avodah Zarah in Mitzrayim." And we weren't loyal. We were disloyal in Mitzrayim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because of that, he's not forgotten that. And he's taken us out of Mitzrayim to put us in the hands of their Emori. And our children will then be persecuted. Their children eventually will get Eretz Yisrael. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu hasn't forgotten. B'sinas Hashem Eisonu. Said Moshe Rabbeinu to them, what? That's V'omar Aleichem. You have no need to be fearful of these people of the Canaanim. Hashem Elokeichem, ha'hoileich lifneichem, who's walking ahead of you now. Look in front of you. Every night you have an ish. Every day you have an onon. Hu yilochim lochem. Kechol asher osa itchem b'mitzrayim le'ineichem. You saw Ovid Avodah Zarah in Mitzrayim, and he still took you out, and he still fought the Mitzrayim. And what about here in the Midbar? 10 times in the last year and a bit, you have challenged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By Amalek. By Mora, by Masa, by Meriva, by the Misoinanim, by the Tavera, by in all these different places. And yet, you've walked through this midbar and you've seen that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tolerates you like a father tolerates his son. So he's done something bad, I'm going to nurture him, I'm going to bring him back because I really love my son, and I'm going to make sure that he gets back on track. B'chol ha'derech asher halachtem, in the whole derech that you've gone, ad bo'echem ad amokem azeh, you've seen, you're incorrect, your assumption that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates you is not true, because you did a chait once. So what? You've done many chatoim in this midbar, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has still forgiven you. You were over the eagle, and you've got a mishkan. U'v'adovar azeh, einchem ma'aminim b'Hashem Elokeichem. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. The Rashi says his pshat, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, but I say the pshat is, the pasuk is talking about Sha'al Nisei Midbar Huashen Nosoom Hashem Kashe Yisro Ishes Benoi Shigam Bedover Hazeh Einom Aminim. You don't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is treating you like a father. You think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is treating you like another human being. You don't believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is treating you like a father. And therefore you accepted what the Meraglim said. That is the mistake that Klal Yisrael made at that point. And if I may say, I think we all make that mistake at points where we sometimes do things that we shouldn't do, or sometimes don't do things that we should do. And then we do them again, or we don't do them again, when we should have done them. Why? Because we don't want to do them? Of course we want to do them. If a person does a chait, we all know that once we've done a chait, we don't feel good about it afterwards. We all know that once we haven't done a mitzvah, we don't feel good about it afterwards. We wish we could have gone back and been in before the situation, and done the mitzvah and not done the avera. Yet somehow we fall again in that very same thing, like Klal Yisrael did in the midbar. But we fall again, and we fall again. Why? Because we think, do you know what? The Rebbeinu Shem is not going to forget. And because the Rebbeinu Shem doesn't forget, therefore my relationship has forever been tainted. It's been dented. It's been made even worse. And over time it's become even worse. And therefore we feel, b'sinas Hashem Eisonu, in a certain bechina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does love us, and we have the rhetoric and we say about it, but we don't appreciate the extent of how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves a Yid. Do you know how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us? You know what happened to the Meraglim? They were on a journey, going through Eretz Yisrael, with the intention of bringing back a report that was going to be damning about Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw what they were doing, and said, for this they're going to get punished. And the punishment that the Midah Keneged Midah, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decided for Klal Yisrael, is Yom Lashonah. But you know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does? He gives them Kvitzas HaDerech then. Why? Because I prefer that they finish this Avera quickly and they get lesser punishment rather than taking a long time of the Avera and getting a bigger punishment. That's the way a human being treats people. That's Besinas Hashem. That's the biggest Ava. But Derech Shodom Reitz, Melichin, I say, I'm going to let you do it. But I'm going to help you to do it quicker. So that your onus is going to be less. Is there any bigger show of Ava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us? They didn't see it. Because they believed Besinas Hashem Eisonu. And we make that mistake. There's a Gemara in Kiddushin. There's a Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf. Daf Lamed Vov, which brings a brisa. Bonim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. Klal Yisrael. Bonim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. Bizman she'atem noyagim minig bonim, atem kruim bonim. Ein atem noyagim minig bonim, ein atem kruim bonim. At the time when you're acting like bonim, you're cool bonim. When you're not, you're not. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir Oimer, and we paskin like Rabbi Meir. So, why? Says the Marsha, because it's meduyik kavose. The lashon of the pasuk meduyik kavose. It says Rabbi Meir, no. Bein kach u'bein kach atem kruim bonim shenemar. Because there's a pasuk in the Novi. Yirmiyahu HaNovi said, Bonim secholim hema. They are foolish children. They're doing averus. Va'imeh. And there's another pasuk in Sefer Devarim where the Rabbeinu Shlomo says in Hazinu, Bonim, their children, lo emun bam. They've got no emunah, but they're still children. Yirmiyahu says they may be doing foolish things, but they're still called bonim. The Rabbeinu Shlomo says they may have no emunah, but they're still called bonim. Va'imeh. And there's another pasuk in Yeshaya where the Navi says, Zera Mereim Bonim Mashchisim. They may be Mashchisim, they're Mushchasim. Oh, but they're still called Bonim. Vaimer. And there's a further pasuk in Hosea. Vahoya, and it will be, B'mokoim, Bimkoim Asher Ye'omer Lohem, Lo Amiatem, Ye'omer Lohem, B'nei Keilchoi. When they don't deserve any more to be called Ami, and others will say, no, don't call them Ami. Says the Rebbe, you'll call them B'nei Keilchoi. Explains the Braisa. What's the va'omer? Va'omer, va'omer. V'chi tema. Maybe you'll say, Yeshaya Novi says, when they're doing foolish things, when they're doing random averus here and there, and being silly and being foolish, they're called children still, because someone who's foolish is like a shoygeg. So they're still called bonim schoim. V'chi tema. Sechol Yehuda mikri boni. Obe kiles bu'ehima nusayu. When they don't have emune in me, nah, then, loy. Then they're not called loy mikri boni. Toshema. Va'omer, that's why the Bible says no, bonim lo emun bom. Even when they don't have emunah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still says we're his bonim. Chitema, okay. Kileis behu emunusa, when they don't have emunah, who do mikru bonim? Maybe then they're called bonim. They don't have emunah, nebuch, they don't have their emunah. But, ki polchur avedas kechavim, when they're already going and being disloyal, they're being oved avedas zara, that's a hashchasa. And then already, maybe lo mikru bonim. Toshma, no. Says the Navi, va'omer, zera merim bonim mashlisim. Even when they're mushchosim, they're called bonim. The chitema, okay. They're called bonim, aber bonim mashchisim u'demikri. They're called mushchosim bonim. Aber boni ma'al yeloi mikru, says the Gemara in Kiddushin. Aber they're not called spitz bonim. On that, says the Navi Hosea, v'oimer, and I will say, When they're mushchasim and they're being over the Avodah Zorah, Ye'omelahem b'nei kelchoi. Clearly, so you're still called b'nei kelchoi. Says the Maharal. In Netzach Yisrael, in Perek Yud Aleph. Ki ein shayach bitul le'inyon ze'a she'nikru Yisrael bonim. Kishem bonim mitzad asher Hashem yisporach hu ilo lohem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us. And we're called bonim because of His choosing of us. Nothing to do with us. The Rabbeinu Shalom chose us. It wasn't us who did made that happen. The Rabbeinu Shalom chose us and because of that we're called His bonim. Vu mitzad atzmoy shelo av. Kamoy ha'av shehu ilo esa el haben. Like a father is a father of a son. Nothing to do with the son. It wasn't the son's choice. The father is the father of the son because that's what happened. That ain't going to change with any hate that we do. That's not going to change the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us and made Himself dovuk to us. All that is mitzad us. That we are making ourselves a little further from our vantage point. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going any further. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not distancing Himself from us. And that's not going to change. The Rabbeinu Shalom will not forsake Klal Yisrael. The Rabbeinu Shalom is the Av of Klal Yisrael. And even at the time that we're doing a chait, the Rabbeinu Shalom's Av remains to us as strong as before. The Meraglim is our proof. They're walking around Eretz Yisrael with the intention of bringing back a bad report. Kill them then. So Rabbeinu Shalom, no, I'm going to keep them alive. They're going to do tshuva. They're going to go into Gan Eden eventually. I'll just make it quicker so that the owner should be less. That we need to remember that. That will help us. Eshas Nisoyin. Why today are there so many young people who are nechshal, and somehow don't get themselves out of it in a variety of different things? Or even in the stupidity, if I may say so, of this which become so much more found today, of this becoming drunk on weekends or in evenings, and it doesn't stop, and the immaturity level that remains. Why? Because they can't get themselves out of it. Why can't they get themselves out of it? Because you know why? We have an emunah that the Rabbeinu Shalom is our father. We have an emunah that the Rabbeinu Shalom remembers everything. We have an emunah that the Rabbeinu Shalom doesn't forget anything, but we forget, and we think that the Rabbeinu Shalom is like a human being. We did it once. We did it twice. He doesn't forget. So I'm anyway a nechayis darga in his eyes. I'm anyway. So shoy fafalan, and that's not true. The Rabbeinu Shalom hasn't forsaken us bichlal. The Rabbeinu Shalom hasn't forsaken us at all. I was telling this to a colleague of mine today. I told him I'd love to have a story that explains this. And he says to me, "You've got the haftarah of every tarnis." How am I going to do it? The dilemma that all of us have it. In different dargas and in different ways. Just perhaps the younger the people are, they haven't yet. And if they let go too early. How am I going to go back to the Rabbeinu Shalom? He doesn't forget. Yoshev el Hashem birachameu. Says Rabbeinu Shalom, no, come back to me. You'll see, there's rachamim. The rachamim is there even when you were doing the chayim. There's an abundance of slicha. Do you know why? I'm not a human being. A human being who has someone do something to him, which he knows doesn't want to have, shouldn't have been done. He'll be meichelim once. He'll be meichelim twice. The third time, he'll be meichelim. He ain't going to forget. And he's going to change his attitude towards him. That's the nature. You can't. It's something that's way beyond the human being, and I'll prove it to you. And Klal Yisrael are not always doing what they're meant to be doing. And they're sometimes doing that same thing again that they shouldn't have done. He says, the Rabbeinu Shalom, We've got to remember, the Rabbeinu Shalom is, whatever a father is to a child, the Rabbeinu Shalom is the Av of all parents. And whatever Rachmanus a parent will have to the child and will forgive and forgive and forgive and forget and move on and help and nurture, the Rabbeinu Shalom does it even more. That's what Klal Yisrael didn't understand. That's the mistake that we make. We're repeating that same mistake of the Meraglim. And we get ourselves entrenched more in Golos and further away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No! The Rabbeinu Shalom is there with us the whole time, everything we do. There's an amazing vod in the Haftarah of this, on the Haftarah of this week's parasha from Shimon Schwab. So amazing that at the end of it, from Shimon Schwab, Zeichet Tzad Livracha, quotes of Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. He says, the Haftarah is about the two spies that went to the house of Rochav to spy out Eretz Yisrael. And he quotes a Yalkut Shimoni, who says that Rochav Azayna knew that the Canaanim and everyone who lived in Eretz Canaan was petrified of Klal Yisrael coming in. And she said, there wasn't any single person, even the most important and prominent people in the Eretz Canaan, who had been to Rochav Azayna. Omru, Chazal said, Bas Yud Shonim Hoysa Kishiyot Yisrael B'Mitzrayim. She was 10 years old when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim. V'zinso Kol Arboim Shona Shoy Yisrael B'Amidbar. The Soiv Chamishim Shona. So for 40 years, she acted in a promiscuous way. At the end of 50 years, L'chayeo Nisgayro. She became a Geiris. Omra Lefono of Ribbono Shel Olam. She said, Ribbono Shel Olam, B'Shloisha Chotasi, with three things I did a chait. Lefonecho, in front of you. Bechevel, with a rope. Bachaloin, which was tied to the wall, to the window. Ubachoima, which was in the wall. Bishloisha Machaili. Say Chazal, Uma Socher not la al kach. What reward did she get for this tshuva? Rebbe Elazar Omer, Zocher she yotzu mimeno ches neviim v'koyhanim. And it lists out who they were. So she asked the Rebbeinu Shalom, I sinned with three things. With a rope, a window, and the wall. Because there was a window in the wall, and a rope for people to get in who didn't want to come through the front door. Ask from Shimon Schwab, one second, you think that's for 40 years she was acting in Zazoyna. So that's, you're going to tell me, that's all she was, the chait. That was the whole chait. Let me ask you, everyone knew who she was. Even the most chashuv and prominent people. And she wasn't, if she was behaving in that way, she wasn't caring too much about people knowing or being discreet. So she had, that's what she had. She didn't have, the people came in that way. If she was a Zoyno, Meitzach Isha Zoyno, Hoyaloch, Me'anti Kolim. Like the Novi said, Yirmiyahu Novi said. The Rav Shimon Shvav says, Ibchim Istabra, no one came in through the window while they start climbing up the wall to get in. They came in the front door like everyone did. He says, no, the Vidui of Rochav tells us something amazing. There were still some people in Eretz Canaan who had a Shemetz of Busha, who had something about them, their Tzelem Elokim remained within them, that gave them that tiny little bit of Tzelem Elokim that remained within them, that caused them to have a Busha. That even within the Avir of Eretz Canaan, which Rabbeinu Shimon told Moshe Rabbeinu is one of the worst places in the world, there were still some people who had feelings of Busha, and they didn't want to go in the front door. And you know what? With all that Rochav was doing, she was still had a tiny bit of Tzelem Elokim and sensitivity to the busha of these people. That she put a chevel by the chaloin in the choyma for them. I'll read these words. V'hachevel chaloin v'choyma shelo he'idu. Those are evidence on the kudo shel Tzelem Elokim shenisharo etzlo achari chayim aruchim shel pritzus. U'tshuvasa v'giyura seo. Her tshuva and her becoming a giyuris, some chodafka mechelek ha'adin ve'eloki sheba, mokei ma'sheba hirgisho adayin bibizoyen o'avira. There was that tiny little bit of hargosh of Tzelem Elokim, and that's where her tshuva began from. And it began from that, and that's how it grew, and it grew, and it grew, until Madrega after Madrega, until she became the wife of the Godel Ador, of the Manig of Klal Yisrael, of Yeshua, and she was zoicha that Koyanim and Nevi'im, eight Koyanim and Nevi'im, were to be her descendants. but it started from the Chevel, the Chaloyin, and the Chayma. And that's what she said to Rabbeinu Shalom, B'shoisha Chotasi, but it's there where I start my tshuva. He says, because she still helped them come in to do the chait. She was goring them to chait, to do a chait. But Rabbeinu Shalom, within my chait, I see that I still had a sensitivity for you. There was something subtle there. I realized I had a tzelem Elohim. Because I realized I had a tzelem Elohim, that's why I was able to do tshuva. And he says, you know, that's when we need to do tshuva, that's what we need to remember. Then we were talking about a goy in Canaan in those days. The little bit of tzelem Elohim that she remembered she had helped her to do tshuva. We are b'nei keil choy. We're children of the Rabbeinu Shleilam, and the relationship the Rabbeinu Shleilam has with us hasn't changed from the moment he chose us. Mibchino soy, from his end, that hasn't changed. And when it comes for us to do tshuva with Elokai, neshamosh and osata bi tahirahi, it's tahir, it remains tahir, and I cannot change it because it's a chilek Elokai mimal. I may have done a chait, but my neshama is nishnas Elokim. That neshama that I'm connected with hasn't been tainted at all. I may have made a distance from it myself, but the Rabbeinu Shalom hasn't distanced himself from me. And much more than a tzelem Elokim, it's the Rabbeinu Shalom himself that I'm connected with. That's how we have to start to do tshuva. And he says, that's trapped in the Mishnah in Ovis that we said last week. Al tihi rosho bifnei atzmecha. Because if I look at my rishus, I ain't got a chance. I've got to look at the chelek elikam imal that's inside of me. The relationship the Rabbeinu Shalom has with me. That he's waiting and he's... And that's why he says Rosh Hashanah is before Yom Kippur. Why is Rosh Hashanah before Yom Kippur? Because we first got to focus on our relationship with our HaKadosh Baruch Hu before we start doing tshuva. Then he says beautifully from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. The Pasuk in Nitzavim, Perek Lama, Pasuk Dalet says, Im yiyeh nidachacha b'kteya shamayim. If you'll be forsaken at the edges of the shamayim, mishom, from there, yikabet v'Hashem Elokecha. If you're at the edges of the shamayim, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take you. If you're at the edges of the Oretz, you're down in the depths of the Oretz. Said the Baal Shem Tov, no. If they're im yiyeh nidachacha, if you're far away, and your bikteh shamayim, you remember you've got an achiza in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You've got an achiza in Kedusha. You have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then mishom yikabetz Hashem Elokecha. From there, that's where you'll be fetched. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where the connection starts, and that's how tshuva begins. And it's dafka from that point. And this haftarah brings out the same nakuda that we've got to learn from the Meraglim. Klal Yisrael made a mistake because, says the Pasuk, and Avada, we're talking about the Dodea, and Chas V'Shalom, we're not going to judge them from our perspective. But the message that we've got from the Meraglim, which the Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael before they went into Eretz Yisrael, and that's relevant to, certainly relevant to us in our days, there's no such thing as Mesinas Hashem Oisanu. We must rectify that. We've got to be Ma'aminim. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm telling you, the Rabbeinu Shalom is the greatest of all fathers. And nothing has changed. And like the Gemara in Kedushin says, we are B'nai Keil Choy, and that's never going to change. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the father with the same relationship. The Rabbeinu Shalom, Ani Hashem Lo Yishinisi. V'netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker. Klal Yisrael as a whole. Every person as an individual is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the Siyata Deshmaya that we should be enlightened and that we should be inspired to see this again and again and again and to feel it and to share it with others so that Be'ezah Hashem we should feel that we are B'nai Keil Choy and be dovuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and that the Chatoim that we've done in the past shouldn't bear any weight on us, and on the contrary we should be able to be Choyzah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Lev HaNefesh and be Zeichet to Gula Shleimah.